Well, hey, John. John?
Just wait for it.
Wait, they don't love you like I love you. Wait, they don't love you like I love you. Maps, wait,
I get it.
They don't love you like I love you.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I get it. I totally get it.
Talking about redistricting this week. Everybody and their dog in Wisconsin politics making their own maps. I thought I'd, you know, make my own maps. Like the 2003 single by indie rock group Yeah Yeah Yeahs from their debut album Fever to Tell.
Amazing. I love it. You brought the musicianship with the Olivia Rodrigo cover, you know, several weeks ago, and now you're just, this is going to be a thing, I guess, and I'm here for it.
It's what I do now. This is the musical WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, we're talking about redistricting and everybody making maps. So, well, first things first, you'll notice that Sean Johnson isn't with us this week. And actually, speaking of maps, he was doing this whole Nick Cage cosplay thing that he's into.
Right.
And he actually found a treasure map on the back of the Wisconsin Constitution. And so he's on this whole quest to unlock all of the traditional principles of redistricting and unite them all into one perfect map.
It's a whole thing. It's going to be on HBO Max in, like, yeah, you know, the spring or something.
Not really, though. He is on a quest about redistricting, but it is a podcast project that he has been working on for weeks and weeks and weeks now, which is finally publicly not a secret anymore. It's out there. It's called Mapped Out. I guess technically WPR reports Mapped Out. Mm-hmm. It's with our newsroom colleague Bridget Bowden, and it's going to dive way, way, way deeper into redistricting than we are going to get to in this particular episode. So you should subscribe to that at wpr.org/mappedout or search for WPR Reports Mapped Out on your favorite podcast app thing. Anyway.
Yeah, you're welcome for the free advertising Mapped Out.
Yeah, seriously, Sean, you should be paying us. So, redistricting this week, what was in the news that makes this something that we want to talk about?
So, a couple things happened this week. The Assembly and the Senate were both in session on Tuesday, and they both passed resolutions that were pretty interesting, setting quote-unquote public policy for the state surrounding the current redistricting process. And I guess redistricting processes in the future. It didn't just specifically say 2021, but it laid out these things that the legislature wants to adhere to as it draws the next set of legislative maps. And interestingly, one of those criteria was basically, I'm paraphrasing here, this isn't the exact language, but we're going to keep the maps as similar as possible to the maps that are already in existence. So basically they're saying a goal for the map making process this time is to make as little or as few changes as possible. And obviously that really upset a lot of Democrats because they really don't like the current maps, if you haven't heard.
Least.
Yeah.
Before we get too far into the nitty-gritty of this stuff, and there's also a whole other set of maps news from the governor's initiative that we'll talk about too. So much to talk about, but just briefly, can you give, for folks who aren't super familiar with the whole legislative redistricting process, what is it and why are we talking about this now? Like, where are we at the in the process that happens every 10 years?
Yeah, so basically redistricting is a process that happens every 10 years. It's written into the state constitution that the legislature has to draw new maps based on U.S. census data when that data is released every 10 years. And the way that it works in theory is that it's kind of like a bill, like a normal bill that passes the legislature.
I'm just a bill.
Exactly. Cue Schoolhouse Rock, right? Like, lawmakers draft it, goes through the process, gets, you know, in an ideal I'm just a bill world, signed by the governor, becomes law, and there we are. There we have it. We've got new district maps in Wisconsin. The legislature is responsible for the state senate and state assembly districts, as well as our congressional districts. They don't deal with like county county board or city council districts. Those are all handled at the local level. The kind of hitch in the giddy up of this process, though, in Wisconsin over the past several decades, not just right now, is that if you have divided government, Republicans controlling a chamber of the legislature, Democrats in the governor's office, vice versa, whatever, they have a hard time agreeing on what maps should look like. So the process in several instances has ended up in the courts, the federal courts, for the past several decades. So that's kind of how the process is supposed to look. In terms of the timeline, it's a little bit weird this year because of the pandemic. Census data was thrown off a little bit in terms of when it was supposed to get to the states. Got here later than normal.
So rude of the U.S. Census Bureau.
Right.
It irks me.
Yeah. They asked for an extension on their paper because of this global pandemic thing. Yeah, it was an issue for sure, and something that frustrated a lot of people and has really crunched deadlines for some local officials and the state process too, because these maps need to be in place by the next election in theory, right? But that's a whole nother conversation. Basically, what I'm trying to say here is that the state officially got that data that it needs to start the process in August. So got the numbers, got the population numbers, kind of started the wheels officially turning on 2021 redistricting. Mm-hmm. And as those wheels started turning, part of the wheels in Wisconsin and a lot of other places are lawsuits. So lawsuits were pretty quickly part of the picture.
The lawsuits are the lug nuts that hold on the wheels of redistricting.
Right, right.
Or the nails on the road that, puncture the tires of, I don't know.
They're not part of the process officially. We'll settle on an analogy
at some point.
Yeah, but they're there. So that's kind of the general picture.
Yeah, that seems like a good layout there. So back to the news that we mentioned this week. You're talking about the fact that Republicans, who currently control the state legislature in both chambers, came out with these bills saying, we love the maps that we've had for the last 10 years that we drew that give us huge majorities in the legislature. We think that any new maps should, really mirror those as much as possible. We're passing this bill to say that that's what should happen.
So, yes, mostly that is true. But there's an important distinction, I guess, to make. So it wasn't a bill
because it
was a resolution.
All right. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, because, if it were a bill, the governor would ostensibly veto it, right? He doesn't have the power to do that with a resolution. The thing about a resolution is, it's not a bill. It doesn't become law. It doesn't have the force of law. It doesn't have that, you know, extra strength behind it. So basically what this was sort of more of a statement of intent, I guess. Mm-hmm. It was like another signal from the legislature about where they're coming from in this process, kind of what their goals are in the process. And we had gotten a lot of clues up to this point that they weren't really on the same page with Governor Evers about maps and what those next maps would look like. But this was a very concrete message of like, the maps that we're going to pass are going to look similar to the current maps. And we know that the governor doesn't like the current maps. He has made no, and other Democrats have made no secret of that. So I think that this was just kind of like an underlining, maybe we took it out of the draft stages and made it official this week. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the governor and the legislature are not going to be on the same page about this.
Right. Because we'll get to the governor's ideal maps in a second. Mm-hmm. But real quick, I just want to ask, it's safe to say we all know that Republicans in the legislature like these maps because these maps are good for them. But that's not really what they were saying when it came to passing this resolution. What were some of the talking points that they brought up?
Well, what they said in response to the Democratic pushback on this was that they just want the process to be open, transparent. They want the people of Wisconsin to know sort of what their goals are going into redistricting. There was a big criticism the last time around of how much in the process happened kind of behind closed doors. And even lawmakers didn't know a lot of what was going on last time. So I think that this is a...
Which, if you want to hear more about that, subscribe to WPR Reports Mapped Out, which the second episode is all about all that behind-the-closed-doors process of coming up with those districts in 2011. Just saying.
Do we just exist anyway, to be an advertisement for Mapped Out now?
Well, this is what's so weird. It's like first episode back of the politics podcast. Yeah. We're basically taking on the same subject matter as this new limited run thing that Sean is working on. Yeah. And, you know, it's just a coincidence, but
yeah.
there's a lot of synergy happening here.
Yes, synergy. It was the big news this week. We got to talk about it. This is what we do
exactly.
On the politics podcast.
Whether Sean is here or not to talk about it, whatever.
Exactly.
We don't care.
So, yes, this was a move to say in the Republican response, you know, this is about transparency. This is about making the process open. This is about laying out what we want from the next set of maps.
Mm-hmm. And what did you alluded to it real quickly earlier, but what did we hear from Democrats in response to this resolution that's not a bill?
They were just very frustrated, obviously. I mean, like, the major focus was the one piece of it. And this was only one of the criteria that they laid out. A lot of the other criteria are things that are written into kind of requirements for districts. So a lot of it is kind of run-of-the-mill redistricting language. But this thing about the maps looking the same as the current set of maps, Democrats were just like, no, thank you. we don't like this. I mean, during debate on the floor in both chambers, you know, they essentially said, you know, this is just really disheartening that you're beginning the process this way, that you're sort of setting the tone. Democrats have pushed for a process, basically what the governor has asked for, which is allowing folks that aren't in the legislature to be more involved in the map making process, to have it be quote unquote nonpartisan. And so they said, you know, this is just, this is clearly not going down that road. And that is unfortunate in their opinion.
Which brings us right to our next piece of news that we want to talk about this week. The governor put together this group tasked with making these more quote-unquote nonpartisan map suggestions. That group, the People's Maps Commission, on Thursday released a set of map proposals that they would like to see put in place. What did those look like?
Yeah. So interestingly, like you said, this commission is what the governor created last year. And this is sort of the way he wanted the map making process to go in Wisconsin in his kind of ideal world. You know, other states have different processes for redistricting than Wisconsin does. It doesn't follow that like bill becomes a law thing. States like Iowa, for example, have redistricting commissions that draw the maps made up of nonpartisan, kind of unaffiliated folks. So Evers is kind of trying to suggest something more in that vein. Republicans have really pushed back on calling this commission, the People's Maps Commission, nonpartisan, because a lot of Republicans weren't excited about getting involved in it. So there's a lot of kind of discord, you know, over calling this a nonpartisan effort. But they say that they're very nonpartisan because they used this criteria when they were evaluating and drafting maps. They employed a partisan fairness in quotes kind of measure as they were drafting them. And so actually seeing what these maps look like that coming out this week, they're not, you know, hugely, they're certainly not in favor of Democrats. We'll say it that way. So they still have, because of the geographic kind of makeup of Wisconsin, the rural Republican kind of base and how Democrats are in the urban areas in the state, it looks like, you know, Republicans would still have a majority in the state assembly under any of the maps. So at least I think a 53% majority under any of the three that were proposed by this commission. So this commission that the governor created, it's not like it's coming out and saying, here's a map where Democrats are suddenly controlling everything in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. It's you know, it's not as good, certainly, for Republicans as they have right now. They've got much more than a 53% majority in the assembly. But it's kind
of... Right, and I guess we should say that 53% is sort of a projection of, like, right. what might be likely in terms of breakdown of these proposed districts.
Exactly, exactly. So what happens now is that these maps are kind of out in the world. They're going to take some public comment on them and kind of move from there. It's really important to mention, though, that, you know, the governor has repeatedly called for the legislature to consider these maps kind of officially through their process, you know, take them up as a bill, vote on them, debate them, and kind of have them be the baseline for the redistricting process. And the leaders have said, well, let's say they haven't said they're going to do that. I was going to get ready to go to like a double negative kind of situation.
Right? They might have come out with a resolution recently, if I'm remembering correctly, yes, saying they're going to do something absolutely different.
Right, exactly. But even when this was, like, you know, months and months ago, when this is a thing, like, we knew that there wasn't, like, a Republican appetite for taking up these People's Maps Commission maps. So the fact that these are going to be, you know, debated on the Assembly or the Senate floor is a very, 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 very long shot at this point. But they're out in the world. This is part of the, you know, sort of line that the governor wanted to follow. And they're definitely, they're part of the conversation about maps in Wisconsin, certainly.
So I guess that brings us to the point of Republicans in the legislature said this is what we want to do. The governor and his commission said this is what we want to do, and we alluded to it. There's probably going to be a lot of stuff going on in the courts because the way the process is supposed to go doesn't seem to be gelling. Do you want to just give an update on some of the specific lawsuits that are ongoing already that are like both sides sort of trying to set the stage and jockey for position for when these disputes are actually going to start happening?
Yeah. So like I said earlier, we've got a federal lawsuit already rolling. We actually had two federal lawsuits filed pretty quickly after the process kicked off with the data release in August. Those two federal cases have been combined into one federal case. And essentially the argument there is these are filed by Democrats, Democratic-leaning advocacy groups that have been involved in some election-related lawsuits in the past for the most part. And their argument is that the federal courts need to get involved kind of soon, because it's unlikely that the legislature and the governor are going to agree. So they're just kind of like, hey, courts, can you handle this? We know that it's going to end up there eventually. We just want you to kind of like take control. There's some concerns about the timeline, about getting maps in place for the 2022 elections based on when nomination papers have to start going out. You know, people say like, Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district, for example. You don't know if you can run for the 3rd congressional district in Wisconsin, which is the seat that Ron Kind is in right now. He's not going to seek re-election. If you don't know that you live or are going to live in the 3rd congressional district. So having these maps in place by a certain time pre-2022 mm-hmm. is obviously a goal for a lot of people. So that's kind of their argument. That's moving through the federal courts. The latest big news in that is that the legislature has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to basically throw out the lawsuit, throw out the federal mm-hmm. lawsuit and say, hey, federal courts shouldn't be handling this. This should be something that the state Supreme Court handles.
Which, for those of you who have listened to any episode of this podcast, probably know that the Wisconsin State Supreme Court has a conservative majority. So there's, you know, a potential reason for Republicans to want things heard by the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
There's absolutely that dynamic. I mean, the legislature... a Republican advocacy group, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which is involved in a lot of conservative-backed causes coming before the courts in Wisconsin, filed the lawsuit, filed requests with the state Supreme Court pretty early on in this process saying, hey, state Supreme Court, why don't you handle this? Why don't you handle this immediately? Bypass lower courts. You know, there have been strong signals from Wisconsin Republicans that they want the Wisconsin Supreme Court to handle this. And so this, you know, filing in the federal case was just another underlining of that kind of goal for them. And the, you know, consequently, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has agreed kind of in another storyline of lawsuits evolving. They have agreed to take
a lawsuit storylines just weaving together out there.
We got the parallel highways of the federal lawsuits and the state lawsuits, and they're just, you know, as they need to, just crossing
the wheels
of
redistricting, turning on those parallel highways mm-hmm. of the court system.
That's true. It's true. And they're moving
fast. You were saying the state Supreme Court did agree to hear that on original action?
Yeah. So they agreed to take a case about the maps pretty recently. I think this was just last week. It might have been the week before. But there is an ongoing state case now about redistricting, about Wisconsin's maps. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how these like parallel highways work, right? You know, as the state case advances, what's going on with the federal case, who ends up having jurisdiction over this if the legislature and the governor don't agree, which it seems like they're really, really unlikely to do. Which court is going to handle this? Federal courts have handled map issues for the past several decades. So it maybe will follow that kind of trend. Maybe it'll be different this year. Kind of TBD, but there's a lot going on there in kind of the legal transportation infrastructure highway metaphor.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
I guess all that said, that brings me to my nebulous final question here. To the best of your ability, can you say, both in terms of lawsuits and next steps with the governor and the legislature and stuff, what comes next?
So the big thing that comes next is that the legislature is going to put out its own maps. They're following through on the process of drawing their own. They're taking public input on through their process. I think that goes through the 15th of October. So they'll continue to collect that. They'll release their own maps. Those are the maps that are going to come up on the floor in the Assembly and the Senate. That's what will be debated, what will pass. I think if we had to guess, that process will probably happen in, you know, late October, November, something like that. And then they'll go to the governor, who will decide what to do with them. We can all make guesses about how that's going to play out. But yeah, that's kind of what's on the horizon, is the legislature moving forward and releasing its maps and following the process.
And so then if things go like we think they will and there's disagreement, that's when the courts, which have been priming themselves and all this stuff, could potentially step in there.
Right.
Well, that's a lot. I feel like we covered a good chunk of territory for our inaugural episode back after summer vacation. And we did it all without Sean Johnson and his redistricting knowledge. So take that, buddy. I don't care. Have fun watching National Treasure over and over again on Blu-ray.
We're okay without you, Sean, really. she said with tears streaming down her face.
Well, Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
All right, so you're in this dark, deserted corner of some library or a musty antique shop or your grandpa's attic or something, and you find this old piece of parchment that's fraying at the edges. You unroll it and you blow off the dust, and it tells you to follow these steps. Subscribe to the WPR Politics Podcast to get new episodes delivered to you almost every single week. And then, tell everyone you know to do the same thing. X marks the spot on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. And there's a trove of audio treasure available to you anytime you seek it at WPR.org/politicspodcast.